Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four dynamic, diverse, and delightful players of this game. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes, and seated on my left, Graham Norton and Sue Perkins. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak, if they can, on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with a score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, which is in the heart of the West One area of the great metropolis of London. It's all very dramatic, isn't it? Are you in the mood to start? Because Paul Merton is itching to get going, and we'll give him the first subject. Paul, some strange facts about the people in this show. Will you talk on the subject of that? Some strange facts about the people in this show, starting now.
Just before this recording started, Nicholas Parsons informed the rest of the panel that he just got a job on television in the latest Miss Marple. He's been cast as a domestic cat. And he will be seen in the opening shots, climbing up a wall, licking his own paws, and doing many things that we associate with the feline Moggy of today. I also know that if you go to the Just a Minute website on the thing that's on the...
Tony, you challenge.
Was there a bit of a hesitation?
Yes, there was a bit of a hesitation, yeah. So you have a correct challenge. Who said no in the audience? So you have a correct challenge. Yeah. You have a point for that, of course. You take over the subject. There are 36 seconds. Some strange facts about the people in this show.
Whether you could call it strange or not, I don't know, but it's a fact, certainly, that Paul Merton, sitting on my right, I did a show with him in the Edinburgh Festival in the 80s. His surname was Martin at the time. That...
Graham Norton has challenged.
That's not strange, no.
That's not as strange as Nicholas getting a job playing the part of a cat.
No. Or licking his own paws.
The bar was set very high, Tony.
Yeah.
And really... Merton for Martin wasn't going to hack it.
No. You said that he had been abducted by aliens.
That was the first part of the strangeness.
Okay, it's unfolding strangeness.
Yeah. Who knows what web of intrigue we're about to be led into?
Oh, there were mercy guards for making me stop it. Yes.
I think I'm trying to wriggle out of it now, Tony, because I agree with Graham. That wasn't a strange fact.
No, it wasn't, wasn't it, Nicholas?
It happens to be a real fact, his first name.
Yeah,
originally,
just a fact.
He was a Martin.
Well, I think real facts is the nature of facts, isn't it?
But that's not a strange one, Tony. So
has it not occurred to you, Tony, why after appearing with you in Edinburgh I had to change my name?
And your postal address.
Well, that was so strange. That's what I found so strange about.
Now, Graham, a correct challenge. You have the subject, 24 seconds available, some strange facts about the people in the show, starting now.
Tony Hawkes has one of the largest poncho collections outside of Mexico, although it is a little known fact that Fern Britton is currently stockpiling them and should soon outdo his...
Paul, you've
challenged. We have wandered onto Fern Britton, and unfortunately she's not on the show tonight, so it's
Oh, yes.
Yes, good.
I think when Nicholas wondered, she's not. Right, she's not here.
No. I was wondering how easy it was to wander across Fern Britton.
I don't know what you're saying, Sue. I think you can.
No, I just want the image out of my head, Nicholas. And if anyone there can help me, anyone.
And Paul, you had a correct challenge. You have 12 seconds. Tell us some more about strange facts about the people in the show, starting now.
When I appeared with Tony Hawkes at the Edinburgh Festival, he didn't work under that name. No, he was then known as Lady. Oh, I can't say that because.
Sue, you challenge.
He was self-editing. It was going to be.
I was going to say Lady Gaga, and I suddenly realised that would be repetition. Yeah. So I can say it.
So what's your challenge, Shirley?
That basically he was embarking upon something that would inevitably have become hesitation, but also steering. That was inevitable from the slowing down of the delivery, Nicholas. Plus, I am of Romany stock, and there's a slight psychic awareness.
Yes, I am. We don't want a whole diatribe.
Yes.
Are you going for hesitation?
Yes.
Yes, because he did slip up like that, and then he hesitated.
Yes, he did, Nicholas.
So we interpret. And I want to hear from everybody on this.
You're a sweet fox.
So you've got 5 seconds.
Ooh.
some strange facts about the people in the show, Sue, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons is a clone. Every 3 years, a new version...
Paul Challenge.
There is only one Nicholas Parsons. The universe as we know it...
Pandering to the chairman.
When he was made, they broke the mould and they knew what they were doing.
Anyway, that was strange stuff we just had then, and I don't know how to judge on it, but... all right, Paul, benefit of the doubt. 2 seconds, starting now.
Graham Norton's got a wife and 3 kids.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, so he's in a strong lead. Well, not a strong lead. He's got 2 more points than anybody else in the show, that's all. Graham, would you take the next round or start the next round? Oh, gosh, good fun for this show. Bluffing. Will you tell us something about bluffing in this game, starting now?
Bluffing is normally performed by a professional bluffer. Now, I don't know a lot about it, and frankly, I'm a little surprised they've asked me to talk on this subject on Just a Minute, but since they have, so I will. Bluffing, there, I've said it again, is...
Sue, you challenged.
Hesitation.
No, he was going... He might have been going at his own pace, but he was utterly consistent. Mm. And he didn't hesitate, no. Yeah. So I had the benefit of that. Yeah. And Graham, you've still got bluffing, and you have 44 seconds starting now.
Bluffing is when someone talks about something they don't really know about. Often it sounds quite like this, to be perfectly honest with you. And yet I ramble on. Bluffing is, I suppose, something...
Tony, it was your line.
Well, I don't think he did in the end. I was certain he was going to hesitate because I knew he had nothing else to say on this. And yet, somehow, he trawled a sentence out of something.
Yes, yes.
So I think he hung in there. I'm almost adjudicating on his behalf.
Yeah. You have. Well, you've said what I would have said, so there we are. 33 seconds. Graham, still with you. Another point. Bluffing starting now.
Bluffing is fantastic.
Sue Challenge.
The phrase bluffing is has been repeated 4 times. Is that the counter-repetition?
Whoa. It's a shame you had so much to tell us on that.
So, Sue, you had a correct challenge. 31 seconds. Bluffing, starting now.
Bluffing is a form of improvisation, unless one does it naked, in which case it's in the buff bluffing. I do it all the time. Nothing excites me more than stripping down to my bare essentials and speaking candidly on a subject about which I know nothing. And this may well be the ideal topic. It's often done at dinner parties surrounded by people you've never met.
Tony Challenge.
What, stripping naked? I've been invited to the wrong dinner party.
So what's your challenge when the rules...
Well, deviation. It's not often done at dinner parties.
Bluffing.
Well, I think she was conveying that bluffing's not often done at dinner parties. I imagine a lot of bluffing does go on at dinner parties,
yes.
But it's not obvious bluffing. No, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Sue, and say you still keep the subject, and you have 10 seconds bluffing starting now.
It's a very important way of fitting in. We're not like chameleons in a literal sense. We can't change the colour of our skin, but we can, in many senses, blend in to fit our environment. This is best done through bluffing.
So... Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went, and with other points in the round, she's now taken the lead ahead of Paul Merton, Graham Norton and Tony Hawkes in that... No, all three equal together in second place. Right, Sue, will you begin the next round? And we have 60 seconds as usual, and the subject is how to pick a good lodger. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I have picked the best lodger in the world. His name is Roger, which is excellent because it rhymes. Also, he suffers from OCD. I don't wish to mock the afflictions of those who have an obsessive-compulsive disorder, but boy, they are tidy.
Graham Norton challenge.
That's a sort of repetition, isn't it?
What?
OCD.
It's a very clever challenge, and I
thank you. I thought it was too.
So I think it deserves a bonus point for a clever challenge. It is repetition of words, and she didn't repeat any words.
Yes,
so she still keeps the subject, gets a point for being interrupted. 47 seconds on how to pick a good lodger, Sue, starting now.
This means he will clean every single work surface, every inch, crevice, crack.
Tony challenge.
Repetition of every.
Yes, with 2 everys. Every's work.
Then I must fall on my own sword. And you may have a topic, Lord Hawks.
You have 42 seconds. Tell us something about how to pick a good lodger, starting now.
I always think a written examination is the best thing. Sit them down, make them tearful, frighten them as much as you can, because it's such an important choice you're going to make. You will be living with them. No mistakes on geography, otherwise you are out, is what I would say in this situation, and have done in the past.
Sue, challenge.
Is geography and a knowledge thereof important in a lodger? If so, great. If not, deviation.
Well, they got to know where the bathroom is.
Maybe in Tony's world it's important. We don't know. And he's entitled to say it within the rules of just a minute. So an incorrect challenge, Tony. Keep the subject. 22 seconds. How to pick a good lodger, starting now.
You could get them to tell you a story and pick holes in it. This would be, in a way... Would you laugh?
Nonsense.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Them to tell you a story.
It's good. No, it's good.
You sound like Jack and Ori meets a serial killer.
It's good because it's nonsense within the rules of just a minute.
Drug them, strip them naked, leave them in Epping Forest, and they find their own way, give them the room.
60 quid a week plus bills. Yeah. No, you're on way to the toilet.
I can't believe I was buzzed. I was going so well.
You were going well, and I gave you the benefit of the doubt on the last challenge, but I'm going to give it to Paul this time and against you, because I don't think that is a good way to pick a good lodger. And so, Paul, I agree with you. You have 15 seconds on the subject, starting now.
X-rays is the only language they understand. Get them up against a machine, see what the inside of their bodies look like. You're not staying in his house with that liver.
Sue, you challenged
us. Hesitation.
Yes, he dried himself up there, right. And well, he could. And lovely when people laugh at their own jokes, isn't it?
Yes. I was hoping to start a trend.
9 seconds, Sue. How to pick a good lodger, starting now.
Waterboarding and attack dogs. It's the only thing they really know about. And boy, will they respond. There's nothing like the bared teeth of an Alsatian coming towards you to really strip bare...
Once again, Sue Perkins was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She is now in the lead ahead of Paul Merton, Graham Norton and Tony Hawks. Tony, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is starters. Tell us something about starters in this game, starting now.
The annoying thing about starters is you'll very often go out to a restaurant with some friends. Perhaps you're not very hungry, nor are the big group, and one person says, "I want starters," when you were hoping just to have the main course and race on to a delicious pudding. You have to sit around and chat whilst they eat their prawn cocktail. So annoying, it will drive you up.
Graham challenged.
A repetition of annoying.
Yes.
Right at the beginning.
Right at the beginning, you did say it, and then again. And that is repetition.
It is.
And Graham is listening well, so he's come in there with 37 seconds on starters. Graham, starting now.
Starters are pointless. Why not just have a bigger dinner and then rule it out? Because really, that's what it is. It's like a tiny dining thing that you would have before the larger one later.
So you challenged.
Slowing that hesitation.
No. Again, he was going moderately.
Nothing wrong with that, Sue, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, and don't interrupt him when we're going to learn so much.
I want to hear about the smaller, littler dining thing.
No, I mean, he very cleverly slowed the pace down, but he didn't actually hesitate.
No.
So, Graham, it's still with you, starters. 25 seconds, starting now.
Smoked mackerel pate with toast was the last starter I had. On Saturday it was. I remember it well. Let me paint you a visual picture of that day. It was near...
Tony, you've challenged.
I think a repetition of day.
No. Good try.
Saturday and day, but they're different words.
Yes.
Does that mean we get to hear more about that pate? I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. No,
he did start off by saying last Saturday.
Yes.
But Saturday is
it sounded like
word.
It, but it's two words.
Yeah,
so I was a fool to myself and my family.
But it doesn't really matter. Graham's happy. He gets another point for an incorrect challenge. 14 seconds available, starting now.
Smoked fishes was very good for you.
Repetition
of smoke.
What have I done?
No, we'll never know about that pate.
You can see the passion the show generates, doesn't it? You know, He's just been challenged and he's lost the subject. You'd think he'd been stabbed in the back. Anyway, Sue, give me your challenge.
It was the repetition of smoked.
Absolutely right. 13 seconds. Starters, Sue, starting now.
Starters remind me of the pointlessness of scallops served inevitably on a slurry of peas.
Poor challenge.
You wouldn't say that if you were another scallop.
Mm. No. You're right, it's a question of perspective.
Yes, exactly. What would you... If you were a scallop, Nicholas, and let's face it, it's not far...
A minute ago you said he was unique.
Yeah.
Scallop man.
I'd like to know why, when he made that remark about me being like a scallop, did you applaud? Anyway, what's your challenge, Jeff?
I think, it's not really a challenge. I think it's deviation to say a scallop, but whatever what Sue said, but I
don't think it was sufficiently good.
I don't think it was either. No, right.
So, Sue, you're still with starters. 7 seconds starting now.
Starters.
Paul challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes.
I'm sitting beside her. I thought I'd gone deaf.
Paul, correct challenge. 6 seconds. Starters starting now.
Smoked salmon parcels wrapped in phyllo pastry. As I look at them...
Right. So Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle end, gained the extra point. But Sue Perkins is still in the lead. She's 2 ahead of Graham Norton, 3 ahead of Paul Merton, and 4 ahead of Tony Hawks in that order, if you're interested in the points. Paul, we're back with you. Will you begin the next round? Whistling down the wind. What an interesting subject. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Severe flatulence is a curse, and if you can turn it into a musical, good luck to you. Whistle Down the Wind was a film made by, I think it was in fact, Hayley Mills' first picture, and she played the part of a young girl that comes across this rather disreputable tramp that was hiding in the barn, and that role was essayed by the fine actor Alan Bates, and it was considered a remarkable piece of British filmmaking.
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of film?
Yes.
Filmmaking.
Filmmaking. No, it was film and filmmaking.
Film and filmmaking.
So, Paul, an incorrect challenge. We're still with you on Whistling Down the Wind, and 35 seconds starting now.
It's an old country term that you hear in rural parts. When the wind is high, there never be fly. If the wind is slow...
A vivid pastoral scene for all of
us. I must say, Paul, from the look on your face, you thought, well, you've started on this, but then the heck can I keep going?
Exactly. That was exactly it.
Yeah. Tony, you challenged.
Well, was it a hesitation?
It was a hesitation, yes. Whistling Down the Wind is with you, Tony. 24 seconds, starting now.
Whenever I go out and there is a gale blowing, and let's face it, this winter there's been a few occasions, I like whistling down the wind. Not against it, that would be foolish. And the musical notes I had emitted would blow back in my face. I wouldn't want that, knowing how unmusical I can be.
Sue Chan.
Repetition of musical?
Yes, musical.
Unmusical.
Unmusical,
a second.
Was it
unmusical?
Unmusical. So, an incorrect challenge. Tony, you still have the subject. 8 seconds, Whistling Down the Wind, starting now.
I remember the film that Paul Merton spoke of earlier, Whistle Down the...
Graham challenge.
Well, now, see, I meant to interrupt earlier when Paul... Because you're now talking about Whistle Down the Wind.
Oh, yes. But I didn't,
and the subject is whistling down the wind.
Well done, well listened.
But you would have been right if you'd buzzed Paul after he'd done it for about 35 seconds.
Yeah.
I was going to go on. How in this?
I was just about to, and then I don't know what happened.
It came to him as you were talking, which is unfortunate.
But I hadn't had long enough to be able to. I could have gone on in seconds later.
Everybody can say that in this game.
Shall we all do it together?
Yes.
Yours is a correct challenge.
Was it?
It's whistling down the wind, and he used the word whistle twice. Right. So there are 4 seconds for Whistling Down the Wind with you, Graham, starting now.
Whistling Down the Wind is in no way a film of that name.
Graham, extra point for speaking as the whistle went. You're now equal with Sue Perkins in the lead.
Woo!
And very closely followed by Paul Merton and Tony Hawks in that order. And, Graham, we're back with you to begin. A eureka moment. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
A eureka moment is, of course, not to be confused with an Ulrika moment, where you pop out for a pint of milk and come back with a new husband, sometimes a baby. A eureka moment is usually a fabulous idea that strikes you when you're in the bath. probably, ooh, the water's cold, or I've just remembered what towels are for. Those are the sorts of things that would get you out of the ye olde tub that you've been in for some time. Somewhere back in the mist of my education, truly, I did have one. What a waste. I think my parents paid for some of it. Think a eureka moment is about displacement of water or leaking on a downstairs neighbour. One or t'other, I can't be exactly precise about that.
Tony challenged.
I think there's a hesitation there. I think a fumbling of words.
I don't think there was
so many words. Not a minute yet. So many words. I say so many.
He did hesitate before. He was going faster and slower, you know, trying to pace the things.
Yeah, well, that was all covered by that challenge.
No.
But I'm giving him a chance. You know, let him build up.
At that particular moment that you challenged, he wasn't hesitating. So, Graham, you still have the subject. And 17 seconds, and you start now.
Eureka is foreign for I've got it, by George, possibly. I think the other bit I said was colloquial.
It's a challenge.
Slight hesitation there?
I think maybe there was then, yes. So, Sue, you've got him at 10 seconds to go. A eureka moment.
Can I just say, I am so impressed I knew that much about eureka moments. Anyway, there. Yeah. Which language was it then?
Greek.
Foreign.
Yeah. Greek.
I wasn't sure if it was Greek or Latin, that's why I went with foreign.
Yeah.
I knew I was on safe ground there.
Eureka, I have it. You knew that bit anyway.
Yes.
I thought you'd study Greek at school or something.
No.
A eureka moment, Sue. 10 seconds, starting now.
I have had many epiphanies whilst being in the bath. Namely, what's that toaster doing there? Now's not the time for muffins. I think it was Archimedes lying there in the water.
Yes, eventually Archimedes came in. It was he who said eureka in his bath. Right. But that's because the water was cold. Sue, your extra point for speaking to Whistle went, and you're now in the lead, one ahead of Graham, three ahead of Paul, four ahead of Tony, that order, and we're back with you to begin, Sue, and the subject now is vitamins, or as some people used to say, vitamins, which is the correct pronunciation, because it comes from the word vitality. And that's the Latin, you see.
Eureka.
Right.
Eureka. You take it whichever way you like, because the modern phraseology is vitamins, and the 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Vitamins are sold in health food stores by people who look that they are less than 3 seconds away from death. Pallid, grey and lined they are, yet they proffer these unguents and bottles which promise the elixir of life itself. Vitamins come in many shapes and sizes. A, B, C, D, E and K. What happened?
Tony challenged.
Well, are they technically different shapes and sizes? They're just, you know, they're just vitamins, aren't
they? Veggie caps, some around.
No. The capsules that you take all come in different shapes and sizes. And I think that's what she was referring to. She has the benefit of the doubt. You keep the subject. You still have vitamins and you have 39 seconds, Sue, starting now.
What happened to vitamins F, G, H, J and I?
Graham challenged.
They're not vitamins.
Me, young buck. No.
Deviation, I say.
I think, D, I agree with you, but someone would bound to write in and I'll say there is a vitamin G or something.
Who cares?
Anyway, I'm going to give it to you.
You've lost none of your touch with your public.
Anyway, Graham, you've got the subject. 34 seconds, vitamins, starting now.
I'm feeling a little poorly. So, in fact, I'm chucking vitamins down me. Not quite as I speak, obviously, because you'd hear a strange rattling sound as they hit my teeth. But in me, at the moment, is echinacea. Now, I'm suddenly thinking, is that a vitamin? Maybe it isn't.
No, it's not a vitamin.
No, it's not a vitamin.
This subject's harder than it seems.
It is. Deviation.
Yeah. There are vitamins in it, but it's not a vitamin.
No, okay.
Right. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. 19 seconds, starting now.
How do we pronounce the word? Vitamins, 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 vitamins. What happened then? What happened then?
Sue, you're challenged.
I have fallen into a trap. Because I am an idiot. There is no repetition. It's merely a clever man saying the same word, but in a slightly different way. Goodbye, everyone. You'll never hear from me again.
So, Paul, you still have the subject, and you have 11 seconds. Vitamins. starting now.
Well, of course, when you really look at the subject inside out, it's very clear that this must be our watchword. Vitamins are good. We must consume them.
So Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle and gained the extra point. He's moved forward. He's now in third place, but only one behind Graham Norton, and he's only one behind Sue Perkins, and they're all a few ahead of Tony Hawks. As we go into the final round, and Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is being wise after the event. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
After Eric Morecambe died in 1984, Ernie had a choice whether he would carry on as a single act or instead keep up the memory of the magnificent duo they had been. He, in fact, lived long enough to see that they were lauded as perhaps the greatest double act that this country has ever produced, certainly in television terms. I know that he appeared on the West End stage in a musical based on the Charles Dickens novel, The Mystery of Edwin Drood, and he was always a cheerful exponent on Countdown and various other panel games, and also talk shows. It's wonderful when you look at how good those two work together, because often the straight man isn't given the full credit for the sheer success that they enjoyed for so many years. It's very important as a comedian to know that you're sharing the stage with somebody who not only understands the comedy inside out, but also remembers a lot of the lines, because...
Tony, you challenged.
Was there a slight stumble, which we call hesitation there?
No, there wasn't. There was a repetition, but it's too late now. And I thought it was a repetition you were going for. It's too late, you can't have...
Now you're wise after the event, Tony.
There wasn't a hesitation, so, Paul, you've still got the subject, being wise after the event. 7 seconds, starting now.
I remember the first firework party I went to, and if I knew then what I know now, then it would have been a completely different story.
So Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. Let me give you the final situation. Tony Hawks, who did so well, and we enjoyed his performance so much, but he didn't come ahead of the others. Sue Perkins, who was in the lead for a long time and finished up with a lot of points, but didn't quite finish up with her head in front of the other two.
Paul Merton, who often
excels at the show, did very well with a final flourish, but it did leave him 1 point... just 1 point behind the other fourth member of this team up here. And so, for he is the winner this week, Graham Norton! So, it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Graham Norton and Sue Perkins. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so elegantly. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we are indebted to this lovely audience here in Broadcasting House, in the Radio Theatre. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from the team, thank you. And don't forget, listeners, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute! Yay!
More Just a Minute next week, when the witty, wise, wonderful and talented players of the game will be Tony Hawks, Justin Moorhouse, Josie Lawrence and Dave Gorman.
Stories to intrigue you.
Some people call me the